Hey guys, Bill here. We're going to get to today's episode of the show with Matt Ufford talking about NFL free agents in a moment. But first, just wanted to talk about our partners at SeatGeek. And if you happen to be heading to the NCAA tournament in the weeks to come, don't have tickets yet because you don't know where your favorite team is going, don't know which bracket they're going to be in, don't know which region they're going to be in, don't know where you're going to head, but if you're a fan of one of those teams, like perhaps the Northeastern Huskies, who I'm hoping do make it to the NCAA tournament after our Beanpot success, or if you're a fan of a team that maybe has a chance of winning, unlike the team I support from college, you can head to not only the first few sessions, but of course the Final Four, wherever you need to go, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, soccer, MMA. That's every sport I could literally think of off the top of my head, and SeatGeek has tickets for all of them. They will grab tickets from all over the web. They will use their deal score technology to rate them, so you know you're getting a good deal and you're getting reliable tickets for the game you want to attend. And even better, as you probably already know, if you have not used SeatGeek before, you can get $20 off your first purchase on the SeatGeek website by using my promo code, which is Barnwell. B as in Bill, A-R-N-W-E-L-L, my last name, Barnwell. Use that promo code and you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, make that purchase, enter in promo code Barnwell, and get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase today. Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN. We are here on Tuesday, March 6, 2018. We are getting close to free agency. And obviously some moves are being made. Just this afternoon, LaMarcus Joyner was franchised. Graham Gonneau, obviously a lot of teams interested in adding Graham Gonneau to their roster. He signed a long-term deal with the Panthers. Moves are being made. So before we get any further, before all the free agents dissipate, I want to at least create some free agent content and project where some of these guys are going to go, because I think there's some interesting possibilities to be had. And joining me to do that, frequent contributor to this program, Matt Ufford. Matt, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. How are you?
I'm tremendous. I'm really excited to talk about some free agents because, of course, we've been wallowing in the Super Bowl for a little too long. Just got back from the combine, watched a lot of dudes run. Was not that exciting. More interested in actually figuring out where some of these people are going and where this money is going to go.
It was a great weekend of exercise.
It was. I mean, the Shaq Griffin thing was cool. Obviously, that's great. But most of the time, it's pretty boring. It's not. I don't understand why people would pay money to go watch the combine.
I actually turned the television on, I think it was Saturday or Sunday afternoon, I'm not sure which, I think it was Sunday afternoon, with the specific intent to watch some kind of sports. And I was like, NFL Combine, I'm going to give it a try. And I turned it on, and some linebacker guys were hitting a pad and then running around a corner. And I was like, I cannot do this. And I watched it for about 30 seconds, and I was like, I have a very low bar, and this just isn't it.
It really is sad. I mean, and I don't, obviously it serves some purpose. I am happy it exists. It's a good way to see people who I'm friends with, who I know, in Indianapolis. So happy to do that. But yeah, I just can't pretend to watch it. You know, I want the data, but I don't care about actually watching the dudes perform. That's just me though.
The data is great. More data is valuable. The fact that it's a televised event is a little bit much for me.
Yes, I agree. But
if you enjoy that, great.
Of course. You know what? If that's something you want to watch for hours, go nuts. Please watch it for me. Tell me what happens. Live your truth. Great. Indeed. Now, someone who's going to be living his truth this offseason, someone who's wanted a team to just commit to him for years now and they haven't, it's going to be Kirk Cousins, who is going to be the biggest free agent, I think, in recent memory, perhaps in league history. He's going to get, in my opinion, the biggest contract in football history in terms of per year basis. I think he's going to be the first quarterback or first player at any position to make $30 million per year. Matt, where do you think Kirk Cousins is going to go?
It's one of two places, right? Like, he's got his pick of the litter and it's going to be the Vikings or Broncos. Like, if you were a highly sought after quarterback, those are the places you would seek out, right? They've got, of, you know, workable offensive line situation, mm-hmm. good offensive weapons to throw and hand off to, and outstanding defenses. Mm-hmm. Or I guess the Broncos backslid a little bit this past year, but I would think those are the most attractive options.
Sure. So you're ruling out the Browns or the Jets. You're saying basically those teams are just, you know, pure money grabs that Kirk Cousins is not going to be interested in.
I think that Kirk Cousins is, his agent is going to pick up the phone, and it's certainly, mm-hmm. I think that Kirk Cousins is driven enough to win, and I think he is self-aware. He realizes his weaknesses because he works on them, specifically those things. Mm-hmm. He's a leader. He's a competitive guy. I have doubts about his absolute ceiling as a quarterback, but
sure.
There's certainly nothing to take away from his completion percentage the last 2 years, and mm-hmm. you know the raw stats, counting stats for him mm-hmm. are very good. I think that he is aware enough of his own abilities to take the best situation to win. And I think the Vikings and Broncos are the best place to do that for him.
It does seem, it would be weird if he left Washington and was like, oh man, that was super dysfunctional. I really can't do that again. And then he went to the Jets. Like, not that the Jets are dysfunctional right now, but it always seems like the Jets are one step away from being in dysfunctional. And the Browns, of course, are another situation altogether.
Yes. I think that the Browns and Jets are going to be talked about as mm-hmm. as being in a buyer's market, but I think that they're just not attractive enough to land the biggest free agent quarterback in a decade or more.
So, of those two teams, the Vikings and the Broncos, where do you think Kirk Cousins will go?
Again, this is NFL outsider. It's not like I'm like, you know, shaking down the phones. We need to make clear that I am coming from a commentator basis.
Sure.
And my lean here, I think if it were me, mm-hmm. I would probably try to go to Minnesota.
Interesting.
I think that that's just the best situation right now. But I also find it very strange that Minnesota has three starting quarterbacks on their roster that are all hitting free agency, mm-hmm. and they're going to – the idea that they would choose to re-sign none of them so that they could have Kirk Cousins does seem kind of strange. And in that regard, I think the Broncos might take the lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think the Broncos will be interested in Kirk Cousins. And I don't think either spot is, you know, especially bad. I don't think there's anything wrong if he goes to the Broncos or goes to the Vikings. And there's an interesting – question to be had for the Vikings, which is, like, you built an infrastructure where quarterbacks could succeed this year. You got a pretty solid offensive line, great receivers who are sticking around, very solid running game. And so you have, and of course, a great defense that you're going to have to start paying to re-sign guys. Anthony Barr is going to be, not that they haven't started, but Anthony Barr is going to be a free agent. Daniel Hunter is going to be a free agent. Eric Kendricks is going to be a free agent. And on the offense, Stephon Diggs is about to be a free agent all after this season. So, I mean, that's a lot of money that could go to those guys. And maybe there is an argument to be made for kind of cheaping out a quarterback and drafting a guy or hoping that you can find the next Case Keenum, and then using the money you save to go after, you know, the sort of other core positions. But at the same time, like, you know, can you really fault them for spending $30 million a year on Kirk Cousins, even if his ceiling, like you said, is not necessarily like Aaron Rodgers level franchise quarterback?
Yeah. And that's why I think maybe, I think that because of the cost that they're about to incur, mm-hmm. I think that's why I might lean Broncos, just because imagine what John Elway is feeling after the last, really since Peyton Manning's final year. That's despite winning that Super Bowl championship, John Elway is not seen as a success. Mm-hmm. A Hall of Fame quarterback cannot seem to evaluate the quarterback position very well.
Right.
And the draft does not seem to be the place for the Broncos to get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe their free agent acquisitions, certainly a better track record under Elway. And I think maybe Cousins is the way to go with the Broncos.
I want to shout out Maggie the dog, who thought that was a great moment to suddenly throw her bed onto the floor and decide to move it around for about 60 seconds. So I apologize for the audio. I'm not recording this in a beanbag chair myself. That's my dog. I buy that. I mean, that makes sense to me. I think at the end of the day, the Broncos are going to be in the quarterback market. But if we figure Kirk Cousins is going to the Vikings, and I think that's my pick as well, then where do you have Case Keenum going if he's leaving Minnesota?
Oof. See, I think that Case Keenum could be the, with the Jets and Browns falling short of the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, I think Case Keenum is more likely to go to the Jets or Browns. And I'm sorry, Case Keenum. I like Case Keenum. I think, and you know, I think that he is a very good candidate to re-sign in Minnesota. I think that if I were running the Vikings, I would try to re-sign Case Keenum for a modest sum.
Sure.
And let Sam Bradford walk and see if I could get Teddy Bridgewater at a discount. Because I think that those are two guys that you both know are probably starting quarterback capable. And Bridgewater, because of the catastrophic knee injury, you might be able to keep him on the sort of deal that the Eagles just kept their Super Bowl MVP for.
Yes.
So we'll see.
It's not out of the question. I mean, for me, the team I came up with for Case Keenum was Arizona, who certainly need a quarterback after Carson Palmer retired. They have Mike McCoy coming in, who I believe is a little more, you know, conservative of a coach, someone who wants to throw shorter, accurate passes, who I think Case Keenum would be a very solid fit for his offense. And I think with the Cardinals, they don't have a lot of cap room to work with. This is not a team that has a ton of money to spend, so they might want to go after Case Keenum and say, okay, if we're going to give you, you know, $13 million a year as opposed to the, you know, we have to pay for some of the other guys in the market, Cousins being an obvious example, that might not be the worst idea in the world to them. So I don't think he's going to go to the Giants. You figure the Pat Shurmur thing would make sense, but I think Eli Manning is sticking around in New York. So I could see Arizona. I could see Denver making sense as well. But I wonder if I had to pick the spots for everyone right now, and we can do these two in terms of quarterbacks, but I would say Sam Bradford goes to the Broncos, AJ McCarron goes to the Browns, which, I'm sorry, Browns, I'm sorry we're doing that to you. The Jets are the team that maybe doesn't end up with anybody. They maybe re-sign Josh McCown and draft someone, and the Broncos could still draft someone even after adding Bradford, but I think Keenum played so well for most of the year that I think he has to get more than a one-year deal. I don't know if the Vikings are going to be able to bring him back on a for less than $10 million a year. But we'll see. The market could not develop for him, too.
Yeah. I think, yeah, Case Keenum deserves to make more than $10 million a year, and he deserves to be a starting quarterback. I think that his play last year justifies that. So it just depends on what the market does. And wait, where did you say that Kirk Cousins was going to go in your mind?
I'm saying Minnesota. I'm with you. We agree.
Okay. All right. who's next on your list, on this free agency list?
Let's flip it. Let's go to, we mentioned Nick Foles. Let's talk about a guy who did not get to stop Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. Let's talk about Malcolm Butler, who you would figure at this point, I mean, I don't know, maybe Bill Belichick is going to change his mind, but after what happened in the Super Bowl, you'd kind of figure he's not going to be back in New England.
No, he's not coming back to New England. I think that if you would... he would be more likely to end up on the Seahawks than in New England. And I say this as a Seahawks fan, and it's I have just a slight little head tick and eye twitch every time I just think, could he? No, they wouldn't. I couldn't bear to watch it. I think Malcolm Butler might be a good fit for the Titans.
Okay. I can see that.
There are some instances here where I'm gonna admit to you, I might be talking about my bottom a little bit.
That's
still
okay. No one's gonna fault you as long as you don't call it anything worse than your bottom or your rear in the NFL. Those are the only terms you're allowed to use. Talk about that part of your body region. As long as you do that,
yes.
No one's gonna criticize you. That's fine. Anything more vulgar than that, Matt, we're going to have to hang up on you, though.
Oh, man. All right. No, I think that the Titans could use a cornerback. They have shown that they're willing to sign Patriots cornerbacks in free agency. I think that, you know, they could use a little bit of help in the secondary. They're not dying for it. But, like, Malcolm Butler is a quality cornerback. He has, you know, he's not a shutdown corner, but he has specific strengths. And... He's a very useful piece, and he is, despite the Super Bowl, and you know, there's going to be a lot of talk of teams digging into what was really going on, mm-hmm. but a capable cornerback is not that common of an asset in the NFL, and his services will be paid for.
Yeah, Tennessee, I mean, has plenty of money to burn. They have Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson, but this is a league now where you are starting three cornerbacks a fair amount of the time. You're in your nickel package, not to mention in the ESPN podcast, but you're in your nickel group, I will say, a fair amount of the time. So you could certainly see that. I wonder about the Saints, who, granted, I mean, they did get Marshawn Lattimore, who turned into a superstar last year. They have Ken Crawley, who held his own on the other side of the field, but certainly was not as good as Lattimore. Getting Delvin Bro back, who, you know, was someone who played well earlier in his career, but has injury concerns, has not been able to stay healthy, really since high school, since breaking his neck in high school, sadly. But I could see a situation where this was a team that last year were pretty close to trading a high draft pick and giving Malcolm Butler a big deal. And if, like you said, if the market doesn't maybe necessarily develop the way Malcolm Butler wants, we know he's going to get probably less money than he would have if he had just played in the Super Bowl and just had an anonymous game. It wasn't his best year last year, but I still think he would have made a lot of money. But if there are teams who are looking at Butler and saying, I don't know, and Butler's market does come down where he's willing to take either a reduced long-term deal or take a one-year deal and head back into free agency, Saints could be looking at a situation where they say, we're going to trade a second-round pick. We were going to give this guy a big extension, and now we can get him for 1 year for $8 or $9 million or for, you know, 4 years and $30 or $32 million. Like, we might take that opportunity. So don't think it's their biggest position of need by any means, and there are other teams who could go after him, but I do think Butler could be a guy the Saints go back to even after drafting Marshawn Lattimore last year.
Interesting. And Bill, school me up a little bit, or rather school the audience up, because I surely know. What does the Saints salary cap look like?
Usually it's terrible. I mean, you know, yes. That's something you might say about the Saints typically, but even without signing Drew Brees, it's not in the worst possible shape, which has been the case in years past. We'll talk about the Saints a little later when we get to the biggest tight end on the market, because I've heard some rumors there that don't make any sense to me. But actually, we can do them now. Let's go to them now. Jimmy Graham is someone who has come up as a rumored possibility for the Saints, which I have to admit I don't get, because the Saints don't have infinite cap room, I think it's fair to say, but they currently have $30.9 million before making any moves, which would include theoretically signing Drew Brees, who's on the cap for $6 million right now. So, they can structure the Brees deal in a way where it's going to be cap friendly. Zach Strief is probably going to retire. That's going to free up $2.7 million. They could still cut Kobe Fleener, because he couldn't pass a physical earlier in the year. They're going to owe him, I believe, a minimum of $5 million on their cap. Even if they designate him as a post-June 1st release, but they could restructure Cameron Jordan's deal, Teron Armstead's deal. Those guys aren't going anywhere for a long time, so would be comfortable with structuring their deals in a way to free up cap space. So, I mean, they could afford to add another cornerback like Butler if the price is right. Now, I don't really see Jimmy Graham, because this is a team where last year they rebuilt themselves around running the football, having a balanced offense, not wanting to be in situations where they had to chuck the ball down the field 40 or 50 times. And like I said, they're already pretty much priced into keeping Fleener, where it's $5 million to keep him for this year, or $8 million, or $5 to cut him this year, or $8 million to keep him on the roster, $8.2 million to keep him on the roster. So, I mean, I think it kind of makes sense, unless Fleener's going to retire, to run it back with Fleener instead of making a serious investment in bringing back Jimmy Graham.
Yes, everything that you said makes perfect sense. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
When has salary cap sense ever stopped the Saints from doing anything?
Sorry, I'm ascribing some level of sanity, but they were so disciplined last year. It's like if you were raising a teenager and like they went out and came back at 9 p.m. and returned the car and didn't come home drunk, and you were like, wow, like we really raised them well. We finally figured it out. And then the next night they're like out till 4 a.m. and you're just like, what have I done?
I think that, like, look, Jimmy Graham, obviously, still very talented. I think he still has a lot to offer mm-hmm. at 32. He's going to be 32 this coming season, I believe.
I buy that. That checks out.
He's still not, it's not like he has taken a huge beating. The Seahawks figured out in the final year before he hit free agency that, like, oh, hey, if we just use him as a red zone target, he's just going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Weird.
Not sure what took them so long to crack that code, but, you know, it makes football sense to bring Jimmy Graham back as the red zone threat, just in terms of one more weapon. Like, they're really good, but to have an embarrassment of riches for Drew Brees, sure, bring back Jimmy Graham, they can use him. I don't know. Again, I don't see how it works with their salary cap, but, you know, how has the Saints salary cap ever made sense? Like, Drew Brees is going to retire, and they're, like, going to, the year after Brees retires, they're going to owe him $50 million on the cap. I don't know. They're just kicking that can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I thought would be, I just imagined this as kind of a pure troll move, but if Rob Gronkowski retired and the Patriots signed Jimmy Graham.
I thought that you might be going there, and I was a little concerned.
Yeah,
that would be bad. I think the Patriots, even if Gronk comes back, it would not shock me. I'm not saying they're going to, but it wouldn't shock me if they signed Tyler Eifert, where it's like, you know, you figure Gronk's going to get hurt. You figure Tyler Eifert's going to get hurt. Well, now you have two of them. So if one of them gets hurt, you have the other one who's, Eifert's not Gronk, but he's pretty good. I mean, he's a pretty good
facsimile
of Gronk. Sure, he's a baby Gronk. It's like Groot and Baby Groot in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, Baby Groot's Tyler Eifert. By the end of the movie, he'll be fine. So I could buy that. I could certainly say that's plausible. I think there's a lot of teams who are going to be in the market for tight ends. Broncos were a team that I thought made sense for Jimmy Graham, because you figure with Jake Butt, great name, but maybe not necessarily going to be.
Hey, Bill, you just said that we could not say that word.
Sorry. So he's going to have to change his name in
Jake
the
Bottom.
NFL to Jake Bottom. Fair. You know what? That's us respecting America, not using
the B-word. We got to keep the language clean on this podcast.
It's true. I have to hang up with myself now. It's very upsetting. I would say the Texans, the Bengals could be in the market for a tight end, depending on who they resign and injuries there. So I think Jimmy Graham's going to have a market. And
yeah.
I don't know. Even the Packers, you know, with Martellus Bennett leaving, still have a question mark at tight end.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it could be good.
I had to fan myself imagining Aaron Rodgers with a Jimmy Graham.
It does seem like that would be unfair. But who knows? We will see. I think Jimmy Graham's going to have a big market. I don't necessarily buy the Saints thing, but I guess it is possible. One Saint who's going to hit the market, it seems like, former first-round pick at safety, Kenny Vaccaro, who up and down career with New Orleans last year, got hurt towards the end of the season, went on injured reserve, but played some slot corner for them, which he hadn't really played that much in years past. Moved around the field as a safety. Great athlete, someone who at his peak looked like he was going to be a really impactful snap-to-snap safety, but by the end of his run, not as effective. And I don't know that necessarily the Saints, given how much they've invested in their secondary elsewhere with draft picks, are interested in bringing Kenny Vaccaro back. So if he doesn't end up in New Orleans, where do you think Kenny Vaccaro ends up?
There's a couple spots. I think that I could see him, if he stays covering the slot, the Colts could sign him. He seems like the sort of asset they could use. The Colts have a lot of needs.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, I think this is the sort of thing where the Panthers could be in the market for his services.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things where we've seen this guy twice a year. There's defensive-minded coaching, which could help, you know, take his career to the next level a little bit. And also the speed and feel for the game that the Panthers linebackers have might cover up some of the faults in Vaccaro's game too.
Man, I didn't pick the Panthers, but now I kind of wish I had. That really makes sense. I'm really frustrated that you came up with that, not me. Panthers are not necessarily great at safety. They just cut Kurt Coleman. So that makes total sense. I could absolutely buy them being in the market for Kenny Vaccaro. The team that came to mind for me, the team that was very thin in the secondary last year as they rebuilt their secondary, the Dallas Cowboys, who, of course, Kenny Vaccaro went to UT. So you figure the Cowboys, always on the market for Texas products. Safety, a bit of a question mark for them. Kayvon Frazier looked pretty good for stretches last year. Xavier Woods is okay. I mean, rookie fifth rounder last year, but Byron Jones really took a step backwards. Could be a situation where he moves to cornerback on a full-time basis, replaces Orlando Scandrick, who you think is likely to be cut. Cowboys are not exactly deep at cornerback, a lot of projects there. So you bring in Vaccaro, gives you an athlete in the back of your secondary, allows you to move Byron Jones and evaluate him at cornerback over the final year of his rookie deal. I think that would make a fair amount of sense, but I like the Panthers more, I'm not going to lie.
Thank you, Bill. That's very kind of you. But I also think that the Cowboys make a lot of sense too. I like the Texas connection, and the Cowboys do need more talent and athleticism on defense. So I think either spot would be good for him.
What a polite podcast! This is the kind of podcast feel you can really develop when you don't use naughty words like the B word on the podcast very frequently.
This is the least edgy podcast I've ever recorded.
Well, we'll see what happens. There will certainly more podcasts to come. Another Panther who is going to hit the market, the most expensive Panther out there. One of the biggest free agents on the market who I don't think, at least a lot of people aren't thinking about. I think it's fair to say that. Andrew Norwell, who is the best offensive lineman to hit this market, an all-pro guard, who is most likely not going to be retained by Carolina, even though they did sign Graham Gano. They could theoretically use their franchise tag on him. They spent a lot of money on Trey Turner earlier this offseason, and it does seem like they're going to let Andrew Norwell hit the market. So a lot of teams need offensive linemen. Of course, a team that you're very fond of needs offensive linemen, but where do you think Andrew Norwell ends up?
I've read that the Giants are a done deal for him.
A done deal?
Well, that is according to a Giants blog called Big Blue View. It seems like that's his likely landing spot.
Okay, I mean, that checks out. I don't see why Big Blue View would lie or perhaps exaggerate the Giants' chances. So we can just move on.
And tell you what, I'll credit who it's that's coming via draft analyst Tony Pauline. I'll cite my source.
Okay. I mean, I buy it. I think he ends up with the Giants, but who knows? I mean, why, if you're an agent, wouldn't you want to wait for someone to get desperate towards the first few days of free agency and just expect, you know, wait for some mammoth offer to come through?
I would think so. There are certainly no shortage of teams looking for all-pro level offensive linemen. And when has letting an all-pro or even Pro Bowl guard letting a player that's that talented worked out for the team on offense that is letting the guy go? I think back to the best example being like Steve Hutchinson walking away from the Seahawks, and the last offseason when the Packers let I'm blanking on his name go to the Lions.
TJ Lang.
TJ Lang.
Very good Twitter follow, TJ Lang.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, those Green Bay Packers seem to do Twitter pretty well.
Yes. But certainly hurt them. And losing Josh Sitton the year before as well. I mean, their offensive line was nowhere near as effective after losing those two sort of guards that really served as a base for, not only for their running game, but then for Aaron Rodgers and his ability to, make plays quickly and then get out of the pocket without having to worry about guys bearing down on him from the first second he gets the football.
Well, at least he stayed healthy last year.
Yeah, not going to help the Packer listenership on this podcast if you're going to make them cry in the middle of the show. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, there's so many teams that need offensive linemen and so many teams you would figure would be in the market for Norwell that I think the Giants are the most plausible situation for sure. But I do think he ends up getting the biggest contract for a guard in the history of the National Football League, topping the 5-year, $60 million deal Kevin Zeitler signed with the Browns before last season. And I mean, look at the Browns. I mean, they invested a ton in their offensive line last year, and we all came out in August and said, the numbers say they're going to improve. They invested in the offensive line. Their offense is going to be better. You saw what happened. Their offense was a total disaster. So Norwell's not going to fix it single-handedly, but you would figure he's going to help matters a fair amount.
Well, you say that, and true, the Browns did not have a great season. However, they did run the ball not poorly.
Sure. Sure. The problem was literally everything else besides running the ball. So,
Browns. We'll see. We'll get him next year.
Maybe if you have Saquon Barkley, maybe they will get him next year. Who knows? Let's talk about one more guy and then we'll hit a break here. One more offensive lineman. We'll get the offensive line portion of the podcast finished up here before the break. What about Nate Solder? Patriots left tackle, has been very successful with them over the course of his career. Obviously there's something else that comes into play here. He has a small child who is battling cancer. Obviously, you know, something that is more important than football, something that's going to impact his decision and his desire to play football. But in, just in terms of a football level, I mean, is it something you think where the Patriots will try and bring him back? Or do you think they're going to trust that they can develop a new left tackle and let him leave elsewhere?
I feel the way about all-pro guards the way I do about franchise left tackles. if you've got one that is keeping your extremely valuable quarterback upright, you should hold on to him. Especially when you have a guy like Nate Solder, who is, even as he's aged, has stayed healthy and maintained a quality of play that you want from a left tackle. That said, if he does hit the market, I think that the Giants are definitely in the market for a left tackle as well.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Manning having 30 milliseconds to throw every down was not great for their offense. And you can see, I think the Giants are going to let DJ Fluker go. They're going to see a huge turnover on the Giants offense as they basically, it's like the poker hand where you just turn all five cards in and be like, just like, give me a new set. And I think that the Bengals are going to be in the market for a left tackle as well. They took a huge step back while Andrew Whitworth was quietly one of the most valuable players that the Rams had on their team last year.
Sure.
So I think that the Bengals are going to be in the market for Solder as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've struggled to spend money in the past, but if they were ever going to spend, certainly adding a left tackle would make a lot of sense. Can I tell you my favorite Nate Solder fact, by the way?
Please do.
Nate Solder's been in the league since 2011. Every single year he's been in the NFL, the Patriots have made it to the conference championship game or the Super Bowl. So he's never outside of injuries finished his season before the third round of the playoffs.
I hate the Patriots so much.
Well, we'll get to another Patriot and the rest of the free agents after the break. More Bill Barnwell Show coming here in a moment. But first, guys, we don't say the B word during the NFL portion of the show, but during the break, anything goes. But, bum, no matter what it is, you have one, and you want it to be comfortable, and you want it to look good. Fortunately, there's MeUndies, which uses lensing micromodal in their underwear, so you're getting a material that's several times softer than cotton. It's incredibly comfortable, it looks cool, so many different styles. Everyone I know who's tried MeUndies, whether it's my friends, whether it's me, whether it's people in my family, people who've used the promo code, I constantly hear about how great MeUndies is. And right now, you should try it. There's no reason not to. You shouldn't be stuck with mediocre underwear. MeUndies is going to make that bum, that butt look cool and feel incredibly comfortable. And MeUndies has a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so if you get your first pair and you don't like it, you can send it back with no questions asked, and you're going to get a full refund. But if you want to get a deal, you can use my promo code, which is Barnwell, to get 20% off and free shipping on your first pair. So go to MeUndies.com/Barnwell, get 20% off your first pair of MeUndies, free shipping, and like I said, that 100% satisfaction guarantee. So you know you're not going to get stuck with underwear you don't want. You're going to get stuck with underwear you love. MeUndies.com/Barnwell. Mac here on the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN, joined by Matt Ufford. We are predicting where the prominent free agents of the 2018 offseason are going to go. And we got to Nate Solder before the break, another Patriot who's going to be a free agent, I think quietly one of the most efficient and effective players in football. It's Deion Lewis, who Patriots don't have a long history of spending a lot of money on running backs. They tend to keep usually one guy for moderate amounts of money. In that case, it looks like James White is going to be that guy. He's signed to a 3-year deal, and the Patriots have had a long history of finding new running backs and turning them into the quality versions of their old running backs. So I don't think Deion Lewis is sticking around in New England. Maybe he will if the price is right, but assuming he leaves, Matt, where do you think Deion Lewis goes this offseason?
And poor Deion Lewis, because he's really very good, and yes, he's already played for four teams in the NFL and has been, you know, every kind of discarded imaginable. Yes. So I hope that he enjoys himself a decent payday in free agency. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really intriguing to see him go to the Texans, where
interesting.
That's a franchise that has obviously a lot of coaching that has come from New England.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, and when you look at them trying to give weapons to their incredible quarterback, Deshaun yes. Watson, the Lamar Miller is fine. But
fine is a fair way to put it. As a Lamar fine. Miller fantasy owner for the last 3 years, I would say fine is about how I would describe Lamar Miller. He's fine.
I think that, that Deion Lewis would be a very good asset for the Texans as they build out an offense full of weapons. I don't follow the Texans on a regular basis, so maybe I'm way off base here, but I think that's an attractive match.
I do. I agree with you. I think they could cut Lamar Miller. I think that's totally plausible. At this point in the offseason, you have to find Deonta Foreman, who I believe tore his Achilles last year, so you figure he's not going to be 100%, even if you think he's going to be part of the rotation. Also on the bottom of that roster, much beloved former Seahawk, Troymaine Pope, lurking.
T-Pope. I am just excited. My favorite part of training camp as a Seahawks fan is falling in love with like the fourth or fifth guy down the depth chart on like the both running back and wide receiver. And there's always like a guy who just looks so awesome in the preseason, and the Seahawks end up cutting him, and then he finds immense success with the Jets, the Ravens, the Texans, whatever it is. But
last year it was Alex Collins.
Yeah, Alex Collins, and you know, but hey, at least Eddie Lacy was a huge success with the Seahawks.
Boy, Eddie Lacy, poor guy.
You know what? And unlike, listen, Eddie Lacy, so it wasn't the right fit. We can, I lay no fault on any of the Seahawks running backs. That is, that is an offensive line problem, and I won't blame any running back there.
That's fair. I agree with you. I have a few teams in mind. I mentioned during my columns earlier this offseason that the Niners could be in play for Deion Lewis. I think that would be a fun fit. The Broncos, if they cut C.J. Anderson, could see him being a good fit. You know what? Let's just have some fun here. The rivalry's back on, right? Let's go Colts.
Sure.
Why not have – let's start having the Colts sign Patriots players away. Deion Lewis could be a good fit in that backfield. They're going to run the ball a bunch, regardless of who's playing quarterback. Marlon Mack. Again, part of the rotation. I think Matt Jones is part of the rotation there. Christine Michael, I think technically is on the Colts roster, speaking of former Seahawks backup. So
C-Mike,
a lot of different options there. But I think you have Deion Lewis where you're not going to give him the ball 300 times. You just can't be that kind of back. But 160, 200 touches a year, safety valve in the, you know, in the running game and part of a rotation. I think that makes a ton of sense. Safety valve in the receiving game, I should say. But I think
I'll give it. The rivalry's back on. I'm with you. Deion Lewis is the missing piece.
So,
and Andrew Luck's coming back from the Chinese monastery this year, right?
He's coming back from Europe. He was in Europe for months without any explanation of why he was there or what he was doing besides just rehabilitating.
He got an entirely new skeleton in Norway.
Does that seem like if you were going to go get a new skeleton somewhere in Europe, do you think Norway is the place you would go?
No, I'm sorry. You would get a fresh set of blood. They'd give you like 7 fresh pints in Norway. And then to go to the skeleton, you'd need to go to like Belarus.
Fair. That's fair. You know what? I wasn't expecting us to get to the European organ market here on the Bill Barnwell show, but that's where we are. That's where we are.
Again,
indeed.
I should note that I am not a medical insider either.
I have faith in your NFL insights and your medical insights. I don't see any reason to think why you would be unqualified for either. But I can't think of a good transition here. We mentioned the Seahawks. That's going to be good enough. How about that? Sheldon Richardson, acquired during the offseason after a period where the Jets looked like they might even cut him. Seahawks traded a second-round pick as part of the deal, basically to replace Malik McDowell, who missed the entire season with injury suffered in an ATV accident. I thought Sheldon Richardson looked good, but the numbers, you know, in terms of his pass rush ability, not necessarily there. Someone who I think only had 1 sack or 1.5 sacks last year, but very good run defender. Seahawks are very good against the run. He looked better than the numbers indicate, I think it's fair to say. So in a market where there's not a lot of great pass rushers out there, not a lot of great edge guys to go after the quarterback with Ziggy Ansah and DeMarcus Lawrence, both franchise, what do you think, or where do you think Sheldon Richardson goes?
This is, I would, as a Seahawks fan, I would love to see him back, back, especially as the Seahawks talk about moving Michael Bennett.
Yep.
But I don't think that the money is going to be there for Sheldon Richardson, to come back to Seattle. There have been rumors of him heading back to New York, New Jersey rather, to rejoin the Jets, where, if the Jets don't hold on, are with, Muhammad Wilkerson, they could be moving back to Sheldon Richardson. I think also the Bucks might be in the market for Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, that would be good. Put him next to Gerald McCoy.
They desperately
need pass rushing help. I think that would be a really good fit. I think the Jets would make sense as well. The tough part with figuring out Sheldon Richardson for me is this. I mean, this was a guy who last year, this time last year, everyone knew he was going to leave New York, and the Jets didn't want to keep him. So we know that he was not necessarily the most beloved person in New York.
He seemed very happy to leave the Jets.
Yes. And when teams were trading for him, they all wanted him to take a pay cut below, I believe his cap hit was $8 million last year. So they wanted him to take a pay cut. He ended up not taking a pay cut. The Seahawks basically decided to hold on to him, but I think Seattle was interested. I believe Washington was interested as well. He gave a quote saying, these teams want to trade for me, but they don't want to spend, they don't want to pay me the $8.1 million cap hit we have. So as he hits free agency this year, he was better, but was he so much better that these teams who didn't want to pay him even $8 million last year want to pay him, you know, $10, $12, $14 million a year? I'm skeptical, but at the same time, I don't know who else teams are going to spend money on if they want to improve their defensive line and improve their pass rush. So I keep going back and forth on whether he's going to kind of get a one-year deal. And if he does, I think it would make sense for him to go back to Seattle, especially if they do move on from Michael Bennett. But if that's not the case, I mean, it's tough. I could see, I don't know, maybe the Bucks would make some sense. They have money to burn, certainly. They've taken some risks in free agency before. They haven't, I'm not going to lie, worked out very frequently, but it would seem like a logical fit because there's not a ton of edge rushing talent out there. So if you add Richardson, you figure, okay, we're just going to be a team that's dominant on the interior, and that's going to make our edge rushers' lives easier on the outside.
I think that'd be really interesting. Gerald McCoy and Sheldon Richardson next to each other. Do it, Bucks.
Do it, Bucks.
Don't, because I need the Seahawks to be better.
Hey guys, this is Mike, Bill's producer, just interrupting Matt and Bill's conversation quickly to bring you a quick read from Hims, a new wellness brand for men. Did you guys know 66% of men start losing their hair by age 35? Yeah, not great. And I'd venture to say it's even earlier than that for many. And when you start to notice that hair loss, it's simply too late. What I want you to do now is reach out and put your hands on your head. How much hair are you going to feel a year from now? It's time to take action, guys, because it's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. That is a very true statement right there. And my question to you is, why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when instead you could turn to medicine and science? That's right, science. So guys, fellas, 4hims.com. You want to know what you can find on there? Medical grade solutions, real doctors offering you very good advice and well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep that hair. These are not herbal supplements. They are prescription solutions backed by, you guessed it, science. And you want to know the best part, guys? You got real doctors, you got real solutions, but there's no waiting room. There's no awkward visit. There's no setting an appointment and struggling to make it on time or forgetting about it. It's basically an online doctor's office to get your hair back. That sounds pretty awesome to me. All you got to do is go on to 4hims.com, answer a few quick questions. A doctor will review your answers and prescribe you, and you'll get the product directly to your door. So order now. The listeners of this podcast, that's right, you, get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 right now while supplies last. So I would say we still have some more of the podcast left. You might want to pause it after I'm done reading and go on the website and order now because you can't beat that deal. You want to know why you can't beat that deal? because this would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. And I'm giving you for $5. While supplies last, guys, go on the site. Go to 4hymns.com/Barnwell, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L. That's F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/Barnwell. 4hymns/Barnwell.
Top free agent on the defensive side of the ball, I think, in any position. In my opinion, I could be wrong, and this is certainly it's not like Kirk Cousins where everyone says he's the top guy in terms of money, but I'm really interested to see where Trumaine Johnson goes, because the Rams traded for Marcus Peters. They've franchised Trumaine Johnson twice, so you figure he's not going to be back in Los Angeles. But if you're in a league where everyone needs cornerbacks, where do you think Trumaine Johnson decides to go?
So I've seen some, the Jets have been, the Jets are like the, just in talks about every big free agent because they just have the money to spend. I think, especially with the Rams franchising LaMarcus Joyner, that's the part of their secondary that they're going to keep because of the leaps and bounds he took with Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator. I see the 49ers swooping in to sign two Rams free agents. I think they're going to get Trumaine Johnson and Sammy Watkins.
Really?
And the 49ers are going to be the team to beat in the NFC West next year.
Wow. We just hit a lot of stuff in that minute, Matt. I was not prepared for that.
Bold takes.
Bold take. And you know what? I don't know that I agree with the team to beat in the NFC West. I just think the Seahawks and Rams are too established. I think we saw a lot out of Jimmy Garoppolo, and he has not lost. He may never lose. But I think it's going to be a race. I don't know that I would say they're the favorites, but I think it's going to be a legitimate race. I can't fault you for either of those moves. In fact, I sighed because I thought Trumaine Johnson is going to go to the Niners as well. I think it just makes total sense for what they need. They've invested so much in their front seven that you would figure adding a cornerback would make a ton of sense. And they have obviously over, I think, $100 million or right around $100 million in cap room. So they can certainly afford to pay Johnson what he deserves as a starting cornerback.
They don't have quite the, you know, having traded draft picks in order to acquire players like Jimmy Garoppolo and also moving up in the draft to get into the end of the first round last year. You know, the getting a cornerback in the draft is not necessarily a guarantee. So I think signing Trumaine Johnson at free agency is really going to make their defense pretty formidable.
Yeah, I think the Raiders could be in play as well, a team that Sean Smith did not work out. David Emerson's already been cut. They have Garion Conley, who's going to play one side. It's a 2017 first-round pick. But then a lot of question marks elsewhere, and certainly a team that's not been afraid to spend money in the past. Bears as well, with Kyle Fuller not being franchised. Prince Amukamara is a free agent. Could be a place for him as well. But I'm intrigued by the Sammy Watkins thing. Niners, of course, they did sign last year. They went signed Marquise Goodwin. They signed Pierre Garçon, both of whom... Well, Garçon got hurt, but then Marquise Goodwin had a career year catching passes from Jimmy Garoppolo. Those guys are going to be back, but I think, you know, you're not necessarily locked into those guys for years to come. So with Watkins, I mean, if you're the Niners, are you paying him, like, are you giving him a top dollar contract, or are you sort of saying, okay, we're going to give you a, you know, an incentive-laden deal, and if you break out, we're going to pay you a ton of money, but if not, then we're going to basically just end up giving you, you know, what amounts to a one-year deal?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the wide receiver market is such that Sammy Watkins is clearly the most talented wide receiver hitting free agency, but also because of his injury history and, you know, somewhat spotty performances, like at the beginning of the 2017 season, I don't know who foresaw Robert Woods being the former Bills wide receiver to break out in that offense. So I think that something, either a one-year deal or a de facto one-year deal that is incentive-laden with performance incentives would be the way to go. I could see the Titans also being in the market for Sammy Watkins just because Eric Decker didn't really pan out the way they would have liked. Their top draft pick of a year ago, whose name is, thank you very much, Corey Davis, showed flashes, but as with a lot of rookie wide receivers, took some time to develop. So adding some talent for an offense that could use some explosive playmakers, you know, I could see that Delanie Walker can only do so much for so long.
Yes.
So I don't think it's, you know, the 49ers are necessarily a slam dunk here, but they have the money to burn and can also get Watkins for the kind of contract, you know, where they're not committing so much of future money towards that.
I have Tennessee going after another wide receiver who I'll get to in a moment, but in terms of Watkins, I mean, it does make sense. I exaggerated the Niners cap space. I believe it's a little over $67 million. So I forgot that they added a $37 million quarterback to their roster. It turns out that takes up a lot of cap space.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, if I had to guess, I would project Sammy Watkins, project like I'm doing a lot of research where I'm guessing, educated guess, but still guessing. I would guess the Bears because I think there's a real strong need for a wide receiver there. Even getting Cam Meredith back, even having Kevin White on the roster, you can't count on Kevin White to do anything at this point of his career. You figure they're going to cut Marcus Whedon, Kendall Wright's a free agent, Dontrell Inman's a free agent. This is a team that could use a number one wide receiver. So look at the market.
This just came up on my Twitter feed. Breaking news. Kevin White just lost both of his legs below knee in a freak thresher accident.
Oh no. Why was he hanging out by a thresher?
Chicago is America's second city, and it's not so far from beautiful farmland. He was probably just out on a tour. Hard to say.
Also, by the way, if you showed me 10 things, like just 10 random objects, and asked me to pick out which one was a thresher, I would not be able to pick it out.
Oh, see, you got to get some of that Midwestern life. I went to high school with the cornfields. I know all my farming machinery. It's on point.
Oh, I honestly have no idea. By the way, I actually have real breaking news that we discovered about the Bears while you were just talking about the fake breaking news on Twitter. Cause I went to check and see if there was actual breaking news. The Bears slapped the transition tag on Kyle Fuller. So he will be sticking around or not necessarily sticking around, but the Bears will have the opportunity to match any offers that head towards Kyle Fuller, their starting cornerback from a year ago. So it makes it more likely he'll stick around, but not necessarily a guarantee. When we're talking about Tennessee, I think Jordan Matthews could be a fit for Tennessee. Not for a big deal. It could be a thing where he takes a one-year deal with incentives and tries to hit the market after a healthier season next year. But I think they could use a slot receiver. I think that they're going to hope Corey Davis breaks out next year. He should be healthier, so that will at least be part of the equation. Should be a better offense for him after Mike Mularkey left. But Rishard Matthews, of course, very solid on the outside. Not a superstar by any means, but you'd figure he's going to be a meaningful part of the offense. And then you get Matthews in the slot where he's going to be a possible mismatch, someone who can, you know, someone who we saw with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia was able to make a lot of plays and in the right scheme was a very effective fit. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Titans offensive coordinator is someone who is very close to Chip Kelly. No, I lied. I'm thinking of Mark Helfrich, who is not, he's in Chicago. So maybe I'll go to the Bears.
Hey, the Bears need to sign somebody to play wide receiver. That much is sure.
We can agree on that.
Jordan Matthews, although I do like the idea of an all Matthews offense in Tennessee, but I could also see him going back to the Bills. I could see him going to the Ravens. Just be like he should just go to some mid-tier AFC team that needs a good wide receiver. Yeah. You know, sure.
Yeah, and I think the Ravens, given that they are a little bit cap strapped, I think if Matthews' market doesn't really establish itself, he could be there. Ravens need to invest a lot in wide receiver. I see them ending up with Calvin Ridley in the draft at some point, whether it be with their first round pick or possibly even if he falls to the second round. But Ravens have some work to do in giving. It's not like Joe Flacco is going to turn into Aaron Rodgers with weapons, but at the same time, like they also need to give Joe Flacco something to work with as far as receivers go.
Let Joe Flacco cook,
indeed. Two more guys to get to here as we finish up, and they're both linebackers, and they're both not pass rushing linebackers. We finish with the most exciting players here on the Bill Barnwell Show. What about Zach Brown, who Pro Bowl season for the Bills in 2016. No market last year. Decided to sign with Washington on the one-year deal, and he was just as good with Washington, maybe even better. So he's proven himself for 2 years now as a an upper echelon inside linebacker. Those guys don't get paid a lot, but you still need them. So where do you think Zach Brown ends up?
The team in Washington, name escapes me. I don't know why.
Okay.
They're interested in keeping him. It's a matter of whether they can afford to pay him. And, you know, he's going to be looking for probably what, $10 million a year.
It seems like that's a stretch. Probably a guess. Yeah.
That might be a stretch. Cause I think he made about $6 million last year. Very rare for me to actually know numbers, especially contract numbers, while I speak on a podcast, but I think that's about what he made.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say that he doesn't deserve it, but, you know, when you look at, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at his name and getting an idea, but why not the Browns?
Why not the Browns? That's the question for anything, I suppose, is why not the Browns?
I mean, like, the obvious answer being, it's the Browns, and why would you do that to yourself? And then, you know, the answer would be like, $10 million.
I mean, they've already signed Jamie Collins, they re-signed Christian Kirksey. Joe Schobert, I thought, was pretty good last year. I mean, the Browns could spend a lot of money in a lot of places and not feel guilty about it. And Zach Brown should take a lot of money from someone, but I don't know. It's just like, it's not fun to project guys to go to the Browns because you're sort of like you're sending them off to their doom and demise. And that's not a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Nobody, listen, I want Cleveland Browns fans to be happy. I think that they deserve happiness.
Sure.
But also, I'm not in a place where I'm willing to wish that upon NFL players.
Right. I think if a guy gets drafted to the Browns, it's like, well, that's unfortunate. But, you know, like you, it's a draft pick. Like, you don't really have much say in the matter. But a free agent, I think it's like you have the ability to go to a lot of different places. So why would you choose to go play for the Browns?
Now, what about do you think the Steelers could be in the market for a linebacker given Ryan Shazier's injury? I guess that's more of a outside linebacker sort of situation.
I mean, they do need cover linebackers for sure, and Zach Brown could fill that role. It seems like they pretty rarely spend money on free agents. Like, they signed Mac Mitchell a couple of years ago, and they're probably going to actually cut him this year, but...
And they're so good. They're so good at drafting defensive talent, too, that...
Yeah. I mean, they could. It's not out of the question, especially if it's like, you can get Zach Brown on a one-year deal. If that ends up being the case, I think that would make total sense. But I think the team you brought up originally in this conversation was Washington. And I do think that they're going to have a lot of money to spend after Kirk Cousins leaves. And it could be a place where I don't think they're going to go out and make a flashy signing for the sake of making a flashy signing. I don't think I'm ascribing some level of logic to what they do, but I do think Zach Brown would make sense to stick around there. He's someone who I think fit very well in Washington and certainly I think a guy who, even if he's not going to move the needle, someone who would be someone who just would solidify the defense, which was pretty underrated last year. One of the best pass rushers in football, and Zach Brown did a very good job in coverage behind them. Let's finish up with a Super Bowl winner, Nigel Bradham, who played very well for the Eagles. Former Bills player under Jim Schwartz went to Philadelphia with him and has been a very solid coverage linebacker for the Eagles. Of course, that is a spot that teams need to fill these days with so many running backs and so many tight ends involved in the passing game. Sadly, Nigel Bradham is not a delightful, tiny British man. In fact, he's a full-size football player. But Matt Alford, where do you think Nigel Bradham is going to go?
The Eagles are going to be cash-strapped. Seems unlikely they'll bring him back, despite him being a good player for them. How about this is a bit simplistic to keep predicting things to stay in division, but I could see the Giants making a play for him.
Interesting.
Yes,
indeed.
The Giants have bigger problems, so they're going to be trying to solve their problems on the offensive line. But I think they could be in the market for him.
It makes total sense to me. As a Giants fan, someone who grew up as a Giants fan, as someone who at least watches the Giants quite frequently now in New York, they could use linebackers. They could have used linebackers for about the last 15 years, I would say. So it would be nice. You know what? It is different because Dave Gettleman's there now. This is someone who in Carolina, you know, built his defense around Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. Granted, he inherited those guys, but did draft Shaq Thompson in the first round. So it wouldn't be crazy. And honestly, it would not be the worst move in the league by any means. I could see Miami. given that they don't really care about the cap or have any idea what they're doing. Could see them going out and spending big money on Nigel Bradham to play alongside Kiko Alonso and 2017 second rounder Raekwon McMillan. I could see the Bengals, if they want to change their logic, could go after him as a middle linebacker. There's a lot of different options.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, if he went to the Bengals, he would be the only Nigel in Cincinnati.
Wow. I guess that's true, huh? It's weird because like certain British names have become like trendy, like Liam, or I guess Liam's Irish, but like certain English, Irish, British names have become really trendy. I don't feel like Nigel's one of them.
Nigel's like just a half step ahead of like Basil.
Just imagining like a 4-year old going around in preschool saying, "I'm Basil." So like so funny to me. But you know, we live in Brooklyn. People give their kids strange names here.
Oh man, yeah. I'm all about that preschool life too, so I got a whole basket full of them that I'll share them with you offline. I don't want.
Listen,
Bill, you're a big name in the preschool crowd. I don't want to like rag on any kids on the air.
We don't support bullying here.
No, we don't even say the B word.
That's true. I was worried you were going to say it. That's why I got very anxious for a second, but thankfully. You're a professional, Matt Offord. You did not say the B word. Not okay on a preschool playground. Not okay on the Bill Barnwell show. But Matt, of course, as always, you are on the internet. Where can people follow you? Check out what's going on with you.
Cool. All right. So I've got a lot of fun freelance pieces coming out very soon. And the only place where you can be sure to find everything is my Twitter feed, at Matt Offord, 2 T's. 2 F's in that name. I'm sure that if, you know, my name is going to be somewhere in this podcast description, people can figure it out.
I hope so. They're not going to be trying hard because we will make sure we put your name in there several times. Matt Offord, of course, always a pleasure to have you on the Bill Barnwell Show. Thanks so much for hopping on.
Thanks, Bill. It was a blast.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of the Bill Barnwell Show. Of course, check Matt Offord out on Twitter at, quite conveniently, Matt Offord. And we'll be back next week. Going to be talking more football. Of course, free agency is on the way. So I figure we'll get to that. But thanks so much, as always, for listening.